Was he sick? I know that he had, you know, was he sick for a while?
Έχασε 80 pound. Έχει χάσει, ας πούμε.
When was the last time he performed? Ξέρουμε.
Recently, I think he performed all the way to the end. I think he just...
Not really, no. He wasn't, you know. Το, από πέρυσι τον Οκτώβριο δεν έχει...
Ναι.
Τελευταία φορά έκανε το Σεπτέμβριο. Το Μάιο είχε έρθει, πήγε στην Αυστραλία μετά από την... Από το, πήγε έρθει στην, στο Ροντάιλον, είχε. Αυστραλία και μετά γύρισε πίσω. Μέχρι το Σεπτέμβριο.
Το 23 δεν έκανε
κάτι. Όχι, το 23 καθόλου. Αρρώστησε τον Οκτώβριο του 2022.
Anyway, Βασίλης Καράς, 70 years old. We'll be playing his music
δεν μου λες
τίποτα,
έχεις,
forever.
Για να δεν λες τίποτα. Ναι.
Άκω, σε δύο λεπτά δεν έχουμε ώρα να παίξουμε ένα τραγουδί όπου είναι...
Lots of stuff going on though, everywhere.
Yeah, we haven't talked anything about coming events. We'll do that after Manny, but we can get started.
Lots of stuff. I mean, like what's going on in Israel is, you know, I don't know. I mean, like,
τελικά το Ισραήλ δεν θέλει να βάλει νερό στο κρασί του.
Όχι, no, no. I think Israel is going to the end. I mean, I think this is going to be, you know, I don't have a good feeling about 2024. I mean, it's going to be a tough year.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking in this country about what's going on in Venezuela and Guyana. I mean, they took one third of the country in Guyana, and nobody has said a single thing here in the U.S. This is a major change in Latin America. So at the end of this year, if you look around, you know, Putin has gotten a piece of Ukraine. Erdogan has gotten a piece of Syria. The Azeris kicked out the Armenians, and now Israel is moving to a sort of like, you know, solidifying their hold on the West Bank and Gaza. I don't think it's just Gaza. I think Gaza is the obvious one because tens of people are dying every day because of bombing. But the West Bank is equally like, you know, something that's changing form. So I think we're in a rough spot. I don't think it's going to be an easy thing at all because everybody's now appetites.
By the way,
and let alone the fact that we're going to be here in the United States of America in a, you know, it's going to really start after the first of the year. You know,
I think we're already there now. I mean, like, you know, you just listen to
plus
Trump,
the COVID, you know, aftermath. Laws and regulations expiring. December 31st, so now it's not going to be like...
I don't want to step on Manny's shoes, but I think that the financial piece is going to be an interesting piece in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to see what the prediction will be. Yeah. No question. But, however, Ukraine, they say that they, you know, like, damage a warship of, you know, of, you know, like, of Russia.
I think that is over. I think the negotiation there has already started, and it started in the fact that there's been like the European Union has like, you know, began the talks of Ukraine coming into the European Union. The Russians don't have a problem with Ukraine coming into the European Union. The Russians have a problem with Ukraine going into NATO. So I think that's part of the bigger negotiation that's going on in a European setting. So,
yeah. All right, it is 11 o'clock, and it is Tuesday. It is the day after Christmas. And once again, we are delighted that you are joining us. 1550 AM radio in Boston, and our signal that streams around the globe on our websites, GrecianEchoes.com and WNTN.com. And on the phone, as we have always punctual, 11 o'clock on the nose on Tuesdays, Manny Frangidakis, Stamati Sastra. Gentlemen, Merry Christmas. I'm joined in studio
Calibera.
By both
Chronia
Costa
Pola.
And Petro, so we've got Calibera, a lot to discuss.
Chronia Pola, Manuel, na hears to nomás.
Chronia Pola.
Yasu, Manny, and happy name day too, Avarimo.
Thank you, guys. How is everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Ready, I'm
recovering
from excessive amount. I have the honor to be here with Ted and Costa, so, you know, I can't complain.
Oh, boy.
Santa was good to me.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Τελικά, εντάξει. Τελικά ο Πέτρος ετοιμάζεται να κάνει announce.
I actually invited Manny in today, but he had an appointment.
I'm sure you did. I'm doing my hair today. I can't come in.
Anyway, Manny, what a week. Lot to talk about. Economy 2024. You know, we're going to defer to you to get this thing kicked off.
Yeah. Look, you're ending this year on a strong beat. Obviously, the markets have rallied pretty extensively, especially since September, October. It's been pretty remarkable to watch and see it play out. So that's some good news for some people watching their account balances go and positions moving higher. You know, so I think that is your good news. And I think the number one question, I think if anyone's reading anything this week during their downtime, if you happen to be off, you'll see the number one question out there is how did economists get this year so far off when everyone going into 2023 projected and predicted that we would have a recession, and then arguments took place across Wall Street on whether it would be a hard landing or a soft landing or potentially a no landing. At the present, I can tell you that the market is pricing in the fact that you will have a soft landing, that you potentially are able to avoid recession, lower inflation, and in turn lower the federal funds rate, which will allow the economy to grow faster and stronger into the future because you brought the cost of debt significantly below. I don't think, that's the exact path that we think that this market's going to take. I do think that, when you look at 2024, I think one of the key themes you could point to in terms of consistency is that volatility will be with us. It's been quite some time since we've had a 1% down day in these markets. And I don't think it's as rosy as it's being depicted. I think that there's a ton of risk out there that is currently not being priced in, whether it's stuff that's going out over, in the Gaza Strip, stuff that's happening in the Red Sea, watching oil jump pretty quickly over the last couple of days. So there are some things going on within the internals of the market that I don't think are priced in. And I do think that, where do you end up potentially next year? My projection is that you could see the market down, close to year end, somewhere around 10%, but with a more substantial drop at some point during 2024 with the recovery that plays out following it. And what I could tell you is that the worse that the economy gets, the more that the Fed is going to cut rates. I think they're going to go right back to the old ball game that they've been playing for the last, 10 to 15 years. When they created the QE and, pumping the system with liquidity, they will go and revert right back to it once we do have some pain in the economy. And that could be, a substantial drop in the indices. It could also be a substantial rise in the unemployment rate. But what you don't want to see is both of those things happen while at the same time inflation rears its ugly head around. And that's what we're watching closely right now is where inflation is. Yes, it's dropped significantly in 2023. But you're still significantly above where the Federal Reserve would like inflation to be in terms of the target.
And there's like a
There's
a catch-up time between like Wall Street and Main Street as far as inflation is concerned, right? So we get like indices that are like looking good, inflation is looking good everywhere, but you still go to the supermarket and still prices are fairly high. And I think as you mentioned, you have the transportation issues with the Suez and everything else that's going on.
Correct. And that's what you're seeing take place right now in oil. I mean, gasoline, sneaky, approaching a six-month high again in retail pricing. It's not, in going into a presidential election year, people are very cognizant of higher prices right now. Now, the only other thing I could say is psychologically, it's almost as if consumers have been willing to accept it. There hasn't been a huge pushback besides, the three major categories that every human buys every day, which is shelter, energy, and food. But obviously, that is where people feel it the most. I think that will start to be echoed across mainstream as we go through the election. You're going to have people using these as political footballs, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't think that, could inflation continue to go lower in 2024? Yes. Do I also think it has the opportunity to reverse course and potentially be sticky and prickly? Yeah. So our expectation going into it is that you have subpar growth, higher inflation, rates higher for longer, but over the short term, probably a drop. Yeah. But if you look, you're back to 100% of, GDP in terms of the deficit. Yeah. You're pretty close.
You mentioned drop there. I'm just curious what your opinion is. We've been hearing that they are going to drop the rates.
Base case study is that you probably get 100 basis point cut next year.
That's it?
In the federal funds rate.
Yeah. You mean the entire year?
All year long, you're talking
1%? The entire year.
So we're dropping mortgages down to 6 instead of 7?
Mortgages are already dropped. That's the thing.
To what?
So right now, financial conditions, because of what's taken place in the bond markets, and don't forget, the 10-year has gone from 5% to 3.89. So we're back to a 10-year where we were.
Okay.
Call it April of 2023 before things really started to get hot and heavy from an interest rate perspective.
Right.
So things have become pretty loose. Mortgages right now, you might be able to get something in a 6 to 6.5% range, and it might not be too long before you start to see mortgage rates being offered at a 4.99. That is substantial.
The market, I mean, is stuck right now because of like the high interest rates, because of, you know, even like, you know, people, you know, in the Boston area in the housing market, you know, nothing's really moving right now.
Well, just a lack of supply, right? No one's motivated to give up a 2.5% or 3% mortgage to absorb a 7%.
Yeah.
Actually, commercial rates like down to from 8.25 to 6.5 right now.
Yeah,
6.5.
You know, I was
going to ask you, like, we were talking about this big stuff, and you know, I'm intrigued by the geopolitical piece all the time. And two areas that have really come to mind is Venezuela is one. What's going on with Guyana and the oil there? And how much of that is like, you know, goes by the board because the U.S. relies more and more on Venezuela. So even an indiscretion like taking over 1/3 of your neighbor goes unnoticed publicly. And the other big question is Argentina, right? So like we're watching what's going on in Argentina right now. So what's your take on both of those situations?
I don't think what's taking place in Venezuela right now, where you're looking at a potential power grab over, you know, a commodity sector, is having an influence on the market. I think your influence as it relates to energy right now is coming from what's taking place in the Red Sea, what is taking place in the Middle East, and in particular, what is Saudi Arabia and OPEC doing in terms of production cuts. That will continue to be the primary narrative in the story. Now, should stuff spill over in Venezuela, and you know, you have another conflict that arises there, and you have more supply that gets restrained, well, that will just put more pressure on the commodity, elevate prices further, and potentially, you know, spiral inflation in the wrong direction that we're hoping to see. So I think that's how that, you know, potentially has an influence in that regard. And then when it comes to Argentina, I think that's more political. I think when you look at what's taking place in Argentina, I think you can take a sentiment assessment and say that there is a potential red wave coming. And I think that that could be echoed across the world. And I'm sure, Professor, you can tell me about other elections that are taking place right now where we're seeing certain other aspects taking place. India comes to mind. You know, so I think that that is just a messaging that is getting spilled across markets, telling you where the political appetite is right now. And I think then Argentina is a perfect example of what happens to a country when they've taken decades on decades of pain.
Right now, they're
at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah, they're in a lot of pain. I mean, they did a 50% devaluation of their currency. They're cutting off all kinds of different things.
They're going to have to cut all entitlements. They're going to have to bring government spending all the way down to a halt, and then they're going to dollarize.
Yeah, it's just an amazing economic transformation right now that's being attempted. And I think you're right in the fact that, you know, how much of that pain, like, you know, spills over to the political side of it. And also looking at the U.S. election right here in this hemisphere, you know, later on in the year, as far as this anarchic liberalism, whatever he, you know, whatever Malay calls it. But in my point about Venezuela is like, are we sort of like more forgiving to what Venezuela is doing politically, because eventually we might need more of that energy because of what's going on in the Red Sea and what's going on with OPEC, that the U.S. Has taken a softer political approach when it comes to Venezuela because of our possible reliance on their oil later on?
Potentially. But I also think this goes way back to even coming out of the Obama administration and some things that were discussed geopolitically. You know, Ian Bremmer's book comes to mind, where essentially America had one choice at that point, and it was to be starting to look inward. And it became very clear and obvious that our problem were domestic and not international. You know, and that's where we were most politically, and, you know, where our weakness would be exposed was domestic and not international. And I think that is just the narrative and the direction we have decided to take as a country is to start looking inward and to stop being the global police and to stop involving ourselves in every little conflict. And I think you're seeing that play out right now in Venezuela, Professor. I think after decades of, you know, getting involved in every single conflict that was around the globe, I think we're starting to look inward and say, you know, we have to start taking care of our own needs versus policing the world and sending money everywhere. So could it be that we are interested in a commodity? Absolutely. Could it also be that we just don't have enough resources to be able to go global as much as we used to? I think it's also that as well.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, I think you're right on both of those counts, but I think one of the, you know, economic winners of 2023, and this might sound odd to some people, I think is Vladimir Putin and his ability to absorb all the sanctions and really bounce back and really create another market in this Eurasian eastward look rather than just relying on Europe. I mean, it just shows that how Europe is not necessarily the big powerhouse that it was economically, that sanctions don't necessarily mean anything. So I think we're in this transformative moment right now where, you know, and you mentioned India. I mean, I think that's an important, like, you know, big chip that we don't necessarily pay that much attention to. And, you know, they have shown their ability to maintain not only Russia, but that whole area of Central Asia. So that's going to be very interesting.
I couldn't agree more with you, Professor. That was well said. I mean, especially with, you know, the fact that, you know, could he be Time Person of the Year? Yeah, for the way he's navigated. Look, don't draw that to a comparison of, you know, his values and his beliefs as being, you know, something that should be monitored, should be looked up to. But the fact that he has been able to, and I think that's the biggest lesson is, you know, Europe is in a world of pain. Europe is in recession. They will continue to be in recession for the next year. You know, and I agree, the economic might that continent used to have is certainly gone, and be surprising if it ever actually comes back.
Different world. I mean, we're in a precipice of a completely different world right now, shaking down. So I think this leap year, which is, you know, the last leap year we had was 2020. So 2024 could be a little painful coming up.
I think that, you know, there's going to be chaos this year, whether you look at it from a political standpoint, from an economic standpoint, or from a geopolitical standpoint. I don't think anything de-escalates. In fact, I think that you could be looking for things to pick up in terms of tension, you know, volatility, you know, and just, you know, different behavior by consumers, let's put it that way.
Yeah, the last piece, you know, I know I don't want to monopolize the conversation today, but the last piece is that new immigration policy that Europe has put out, and even Greece has, like, you know, participated in, like, you know, that's bringing all this season workers using immigration now, because they, I mean, Greece has a shortage of 400,000 people.
400,000.
So, like, you have to do, like, you know, pick olives, to do, like, farm, you know, related stuff. So they've gone on to, like, you know, sort of, like, legalize a lot of those immigrants that have been in Greece for at least 3 years. So I think this is a big turning point, too, as far as that immigration piece. And I'm sure that's going to also be affecting here in the United States.
I hope we've been hearing it forever, but I really hope that we can work on
it's a real issue
right now. And the issues amongst the candidates, you know, they're not even touching the issues. They're just battling each other out, which is just... anyway, it is another conversation for another day. Yeah. Stamati is still with us. I want to wish Stamati also a very Merry Christmas. Manny, you guys as well. Listen, this is our final broadcast. Go ahead, Stamati.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Manny. Last year, I think a lot of AI stocks were the ones that would get huge premium and benefit. NASDAQ is not as high as the S&P and the Dow. What is Manny's point of view on the tech stocks? You know, and if he thinks that there's going to be a sector in technology that can be potential for gains or losses.
Yeah, good question.
Short-term losses, long-term gains. I'm a big believer that, you know, this was all a lot of hype going into this year. That AI, yes, will change the world. It's also been around since 1999. Hasn't truly changed yet, but that things will, you know, start to move over to that side of the world, but it's going to take some time. There's a lot of development that needs to take place. We actually don't even have enough power or the ability to move power to be able to run some of these supercomputers at the moment. So there's going to be a lot that needs to take place. It was a really good hype going into the end of 2023, talking, you know, obviously CFOs, CEOs on their earnings calls where, you know, mentioned it at a plethora of a rate, helped earnings. It's going to help investor sentiment, but in the short term, it's going to be more losses than it will be economic opportunity. And I think that, you know, tech, after having a ridiculous run up in 2023, potentially has some losses that occur in 2024. So I'm still believing in a sector change, and that they will, you know, these technology companies potentially aren't the leaders in the market or for investors throughout the rest of this decade.
Are we going to see any AI commercials during the Super Bowl? There you go.
Probably. I mean, the last ones we saw were all crypto, and look at what took place last year.
What happened
crypto.
There? Yes.
You know, it's pretty remarkable how quickly we can forget about how, you know, year over year things change. Now, crypto's doing well now, but following those Super Bowl commercials, that's when you had the FTX fiasco and Sam Bankman-Fried and all that. And, you know, again, you know, one of the things that I will say is I think investors are over their skis. When the economy hit a potential point of breaking, when it related to First Republic, Boston Private, Silicon Valley Bank, investors did the exact opposite of what people expected them to do, and they went right back into the most speculative parts of the economy. And that is what, you know, the end of 2023 looked like. I do think that there will be some kind of correction there, and I do think that the earnings bar for next year is going to be hard to beat, which is projected to be 10% growth from here.
Yeah, very good. Manny Stamati, this is our final broadcast of 2023, Tuesdays at 11 o'clock. Let me just remind the listening audience, Manny is like, 40 years ago when E.F. Hutton spoke, people listened. Well, when Manny Frangidakis talks here in the Greek community, people listen. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis, each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. You can talk to Manny at 617-212-8343 anytime. And, gentlemen, both of you, such a great asset to our program weekly. Again, this is our final broadcast of the year. Και του χρόνου με υγεία.
We'll talk to you next year.
We'll talk to you next year, I guess, gentlemen.
I hope you're
looking forward to it.
I hope you have a great one.
Yeah.
Likewise, wishing everyone a happy new year and, you know, all the best, peace, joy, and happiness, health.
Μανώλη, πρέπει να έρθεις μια μέρα στο στούδιο εδώ.
He'll come some Tuesday. We'll get him in here soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put it on.
So we'll have you for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Gentlemen, we'll move on. Thank you and have a great weekend. We'll be back after these commercial messages. Don't go anywhere.
Φωτιά Greek Taverna άνοιξε και σας περιμένει στο 401 Willow Street στο Manchester του New Hampshire. Πλούσιο μενού από αυθεντικές ελληνικές